It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
I got a new truck recently.
I saw it in the driveway.
Oh. Yeah. I've downsized a little bit. I went from a crew cab Ford F-150 to a crew cab Nissan Frontier. So more of a midsize type truck.
I'm a fan of the Frontier.
No, it's really nice.
It is really nice. It's two-wheel drive.
Two-wheel drive, yeah. But I don't really need four-wheel drive, but I say that, and then I'm going to get into a situation where I probably will need it.
That's okay. You could have bought a Toyota like I do, and four-wheel drive never seems to work.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Every Toyota I've ever had, the four-wheel drive went in and out on. But yeah, I like your truck a lot. Same truck my dad has.
Right.
So, and he's super happy with it. And I actually had a little Pathfinder, same body style. But
right.
The SUV. And right. I like that thing a lot.
Black, no, I'm enjoying
Betty.
It so far.
Black Betty.
Ram-a-lam. That was her name.
What's new with you, Travis?
Couple things going on. We had Will of 2 Minute Will fame, who's been incognito lately, missing in action, MIA.
MIA.
He's been MIA lately. He had a birthday over the weekend. So he's the big fat 12.
Nice.
And something else new that I wanted to talk about was I saw a report. We've been talking quite a bit about backcountry hunters and anglers.
Right.
On the show, Chad, the guy that directs the Southeast region, shared, I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago, a report from the Outdoor Industry Association. You ever heard of this? OIA?
I think I have heard of this.
Okay. So it's basically you can join if you're a company. It's almost like a lobbying group or it's just an association, essentially, of vendors of outdoor stuff. So hiking, camping, fishing, hunting, biking, skiing.
Yeah.
Anything you do in the outdoors, you could be represented by this company. So they did a study, and they said that 55% of Florida residents participate in outdoor recreation each year. So I got a cool infographic. I'll try to figure out how to attach it to the show notes. I don't know if I can do that or not.
Okay.
Outdoor recreation. This is the one that blew me away. Outdoor recreation employs more Floridians than the information technology and aviation and aerospace industry combined.
Wow.
In Florida.
Come on. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
485,000 Floridians are employed by the outdoor recreation sector versus 322,000 by information technology sector and aerospace aviation combined.
Interesting.
Wow. Right. So, and that is from Enterprise Florida. That's not their own in-house numbers where they're trying to make something look better. That's really what it is. In Florida, outdoors recreation generates $58.6 billion in consumer spending annually, 485,000 direct jobs, like I said, $17.9 billion in wages and salaries, and $3.5 billion in state and local tax revenue. So I just thought I'd like to share that because I feel like those are some important numbers for us as Floridians. And what I'll do is I'll share the link. I'll get it from Chad again because you can actually go to whatever state you're in and get the numbers on your state and how it did. And
outdoor recreation.
Yeah. So super, super interesting stuff. And
yeah,
it's got
absolutely.
National roll-ups and all that stuff. It's an interesting infographic. So I just thought that stuff was cool.
That's pretty cool.
What's new with you, Em?
What's new with me? We got our shower finished up. I have a brand new shower.
That was weeks ago at this point.
1 week ago because you talked about it last week.
Yeah, it was in progress last week.
Yeah,
it's true.
So now it's done. And we're very excited. I am anyways. I take like 15 showers a day now. The other day I was just went in there and stood for a while.
She asked if she could sleep in the shower.
Yeah. It's so pretty. It's like the cleanest thing in my house because it's new. Everything else in this house is 35 years old. So pretty awesome.
Except you.
Except me.
Congratulations on the new shower, by the
Same
way.
Same to you.
I'm pleased with it.
Me too.
For the record, my wife dominated the interior design portion of that and the project management portion of that. I really had nothing to do with it, so it looks amazing.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best. Yep.
So I am going to take some Barkeeper's Trend in there, which I had as a keep a few weeks ago.
Some
cleaning and whatnot.
That'll do it.
Maybe not so much. Uh-huh. I'm getting a look.
Oh, the tile guy. This is a tip. The tile guy recommended Tilex. He said, I tell all my clients to use Tilex. So there's a little tip for you if you need a recommendation for cleaning
from
your shower.
From a tile guy.
Yeah.
From the tile
Interesting.
Guy.
Interesting.
What are we talking about this week?
Well, Travis, several times on this podcast here, episode 8 and episode 10, we have talked about Urban Dictionary terms.
Suburban Dictionary terms.
So yeah, episode 8 was the Fishing Suburban Dictionary. Episode 10 was the Hunting Suburban Dictionary. So if you haven't heard those, go back in our archives and catch up. Today, we're doing it again. We're doing Suburban Dictionary Volume 3.
Yeah, is it out of line for me to give some credit to the podcast here?
No, you definitely should.
Okay, because Emily turned me on to this podcast. It is not something our audience would typically listen to. You've listened to it, right, Nate?
Yeah.
They talk about entertainment stuff for the most part, and they do an Urban Dictionary episode. I think they just did their most recent one as like their 11th time. And they actually read definitions from Urban Dictionary.
Right.
Obviously, Urban Dictionary itself is not a place that's loaded with outdoor terms.
Right.
So we had to kind of freelance a little bit. But
you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us.
It's a great segue. So I did some dirty digging today, and I was like, okay, what I wanted to do is just go on Urban Dictionary and just look up terms that you would use every day in the outdoors. Like,
give us some of the examples.
Like a line. Like, I'm going to throw out a line, a reel, a sinker, bait, your boat, a motor, trolling, these sorts of things that we take for granted.
All right. So you're going to give us the definitions of those according to Urban Dictionary.
Yes. But first, I'm going to pick on you.
Okay.
There was like a Urban Dictionary feature of the day, and I just thought it was so appropriate. So it's called a dirty delete. Do you know what this is?
I don't.
It's used primarily in Facebook groups. A dirty delete is when someone makes a post and later decides to delete it, usually because no one in the group is agreeing with the post.
I've seen that happen on Florida Duck Hunters this week.
Yes, and it's so savage because whenever someone's on there being a jerk, everyone screenshots it. And then they'll go delete the post, and then somebody will be like, I had a screenshot, and they'll post it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to see that happen, if you want to see a dirty delete in action, post something about gun control.
Yeah. Something else you might want to study up on, Travis, is the term whitewalling.
Whitewalling?
Whitewalling, which is to delete many or even all past Facebook posts in an effort to maintain a reasonable reputation.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
And then this one made me think of Kaylee Henderson. If you guys haven't, if you're new to the podcast, she guests co-hosts with us often, and she's an avid TV watcher. So one of the Urban Dictionary terms today was, I'll add it to my list, which is you say to someone when they suggest you watch a certain show.
Add it to the list.
And Kaylee says that all the time. I'll add it to my list.
I wish she'd get her life together and put Justified on her list.
I know. So back to hunting and fishing terms. The first one is, first of all these terms, none of them had anything to do with hunting or fishing on Urban Dictionary.
So in this first segment is just...
We're just warming up.
This is in lieu of the game being the foot.
Or it could be the game being the foot.
It could be.
You could guess. Could be. You could take a gander at what the definition will be.
All right, sure.
Okay, so the first one is line.
I'm assuming that has something to do with picking up women.
You would
like
think.
Like a pickup line or like
But mostly it was about cocaine on Urban Dictionary,
wow.
Which I all didn't right. think of at all. They said
something we don't discuss quite a bit on this podcast.
I know. They also used it as a request for what to say as if one were an actor in a play.
Line.
Line.
Yeah, line.
Like, yeah. It reminds me of Michael Scott and the the next one is reel.
Like R-E-E-L?
Yes.
It's like another term for R-E-A-L. I think people use it in conjunction with each other.
Yeah, but R-E-E-L is right, what I did the Google.
No, I know, but I think they use it.
Are they talking about like a film reel?
No. Well, I actually need you guys to help me on this because one of the definitions was a commonly used word for a wide receiver when catching a hard pass.
Reel it in.
Yeah,
he reeled it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the other one, which I thought was so funny, is when a girl is wearing sweatpants with a word on the butt and one of the letters.
I feel like some music is going to play over that little section right there.
There's nothing dirty. That's just funny. Okay. The next one is sinker. This one you might have to play music over, but I'm going to try to keep it. Keep it above board.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, it can refer to uneven body parts, and I can't really go into it more
than
that.
Oh, my gosh.
But if there's any unevenness, so to speak, one is a sinker. But the other one was, I thought you would think this one's funny, a music stand that can't hold itself up.
Just kind of like slowly.
Like any band nerd or musician is laughing right now because that's like the most annoying thing.
It's so annoying.
But they always have the little quotes that said, John, get yourself another music stand. That one's a sinker.
I just imagine
the director yelling that. Bait.
I'm almost scared to answer at these
points. Yeah, I mean, it's like
what's going through my head versus what I can say on the radio.
I have never heard of this. I feel like we need to ask Olivia. When something is blatantly obvious, that's what they use the word bait for. So bait. It was so bait that it was you who stole my phone.
That makes 0% chance.
I'm releasing that term.
I've never heard this. The other example was, you can't go out with him. He's bait. Everyone will find out.
Nah.
Nope.
What does that even mean?
I don't get it.
Okay, what about boat?
I'm not up with the youngins lingo.
Boat?
Boat.
I would say that's a
You okay?
Yeah. I would say that's a...
He had a stroke.
I would say that's a young lady that maybe is...
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. No. Okay, so the first one is the first definition. Are you so happy that you learned how to edit so you can edit that out for yourself?
Right. Yes.
Okay, the first definition is 1,000 pills of ecstasy.
What is with you in the drug usage?
This is the youth of America. Youth of America, why? This is the second definition is the object that Andy Samberg is on.
Wow.
I'm on a boat. Yes. Yes.
I thought that was so funny.
That is great.
A couple more. Motor.
Motor mouth? I don't know.
To move quickly.
Yeah.
Our
you motor.
We got a motor.
That's an old
okay.
term. Like the regular dictionary.
Right.
But I liked
that's
one
like
of
in the Merriam-Webster on the bookshelf.
This example made me laugh. My cat's purr. My cat has a loud motor. I thought that was funny.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nothing with cats is funny.
All right. Trolling.
Trolling. Well, yeah, go ahead.
It's, you know,
see also
trying to
Travis
make somebody
Thompson.
Mad on purpose.
Yeah.
On the internet.
On the internet. Internet troll.
Yeah, being a jerk on the internet because you can. Also, the delicate.
Also, it's also putting on your best and going out clubbing.
No.
You're like trolling for some sweeties.
Yeah. I feel like this was
some honeys.
A good definition.
Is that what we say, honeys?
No.
I don't know.
I'm not so much of a boat. Troller. I'm more of an inshore guy.
That's so bait.
Yeah, it's so bait. I said it wrong.
You said it wrong.
I did it unright. No, it says the delicate art of screwing with people's emotions or perceived conception of reality, logic, or social norms over the internet or in real life.
Okay.
I feel like Travis does that a lot.
Wow.
Okay.
Do you think we've gone from 9,000 listeners to 75 in this
maybe
segment?
Well, I'm bringing it back. How about the definition of a Nathan?
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
These are direct quotes from the internet, everyone. A guy who is caring and intelligent and is superior to all, even God.
Well, okay.
That's a bit much.
Lost me there.
And
time,
then it said, I'm not making this up, a legend at the guitar and guitar hero.
I mean, I do play guitar, but... I'm not a legend by any means.
Okay. He is a perfect man in every way unless you cross his path when he is sleepy and then you have hell to pay.
Oh my gosh. That's like actual.
Scary
that's
accurate.
Actually accurate.
Scary accurate, right? Okay, Travis. I had to edit yours.
Did you?
Yeah. Apparently the women of the world really enjoy Travis's.
Yeah, they're fans.
So
we get a lot of fan mail I don't discuss on the show directed at me.
Hilarious yet slightly annoying. Is that so good, Nate?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay, the second one is Travis is weird, the good weird, not the creeper weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
Yeah.
Amazing hip gyration.
Yeah, for sure.
All around cool guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
That last one is meh.
Does it say see also Ryan Gosling?
It does not.
Okay.
Now, I looked up Emily.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And apparently Urban Dictionary really loves Emily's.
They're fans.
Like big time fans.
So I'm a fan of Emily.
She's a great friend, loyal, supportive. She will always listen to your problems with all her heart.
Is there a way you can skip to like page 17 of definitions and let's read one of those?
Emily is a girl who makes it easy to get out of bed in the morning.
Aw.
A girl who doesn't believe in herself. No, that's not a good one.
A girl who doesn't believe in herself.
Yeah.
Dark.
Do you not believe in yourself? Absolutely stunning person.
Like
I'm
a
done with
princess.
This segment.
Yeah. No, I'm out.
So our main segment, in keeping with the Urban Dictionary theme, as we alluded to earlier, Suburban Dictionary. The first go-round through this, we had several that could not make the cut that we had to leave on the floor. And then we've also acquired a few new ones since then. I feel like we're doing the Lord's work here.
Sure.
That's a stretch.
What?
Well, I mean, we're creating a vocabulary resource for hunters and fishermen.
Okay.
And I feel like that's important.
It's important. I wouldn't call it the Lord's work.
Okay.
Right. I don't know. He did say he'd make you fishers of men.
This is true.
All right, Nate, what do we got?
All right, so the first one we have is toad. So a big fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm surprised we missed that one with like
right.
Mogan and all
right.
the other
well,
definitions
I mean,
we had the first go around.
I feel like there are better words to use other than toad.
Do you feel like, okay.
It's such a bait word.
It's okay.
We haven't discussed this. We've discussed this. We've got a list in front of us. We haven't discussed these at all.
No, absolutely not.
So let me ask you this. When I say I caught a toad, if I didn't tell you where I was fishing or anything else, what would you think I caught?
I mean, a snook, a big fish.
Okay.
I would know
in
what you were talking
head,
about.
It would be a largemouth bass.
Okay.
I think of a bass
okay.
as a toad.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Because, well, with bass, you can use toads as bait.
Right. So I just, for whatever reason.
Actual toads.
I don't ever call a fish, a big fish, a toad.
I don't really either.
I'll call them other stuff. I call them slobs and stuff like that, but I don't call them toads. But I would call a big bass a toad.
Yeah, I feel like that's appropriate for bass.
If anyone wants to take me toad fishing, I'm terrible at it and would like to get better.
I would have thought
specifically
you,
on the bass.
I would have thought you actually caught a toad.
No, you would be incorrect.
Incorrect.
The next one up is my personal favorite, a Taco Bell pro staffer. One who thinks he's the shiz because he's on a pro staff because he got a free lure. Originated from the meme, I got free sauce at Taco Bell, so I guess you could say I'm pro staff.
Have you seen this meme?
No.
That's an amazing meme.
Also, the announcer on the Final Four the other night called them memes.
Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know if I can deal with you anymore. But Taco Bell pro staffer, I feel like it's throwing shade at pro staffers.
Can I say one thing before we get into this too heavy?
Sure.
Can I be on Taco Bell's actual pro staff?
That would be amazing, right?
Right? Like free Taco Bell anytime you wanted?
What would you get? If you could get one item free every day, what would it be?
Cheesy Gordita Crunch.
That's it.
Wow.
It's not even.
That's a good choice.
It's not even
I was going to throw shade at that, but then it ran through my head, and that's a good choice.
It's not even close.
I would get nachos with that cheese sauce.
What?
But I would do it like every day, but I'd put the cheese sauce in the refrigerator and save it up till I had like 20 of them. And I'd go to Publix and buy a bag of chips. And I just eat the crap out of that.
Why don't you
stuff,
just
man.
Get the nachos with cheese?
Oh, that's what I should do.
What?
Listen.
What?
Here's
what is going on right now?
He's the worst.
I'm so confused.
Here's the thing. What do you think about pro staffs?
I think they're overrated.
Okay.
Agree.
Can I say something?
Sure.
If I come to you and say, Nate, I'm going to give you a discount off my product, would you take it?
Absolutely, I would.
So why do people throw so much shade at pro staffs?
Because people like to flaunt pro staff.
Exactly.
And like not, I mean, in being on a pro staff, you're supposed to promote the company. I mean, that's part of your job as a pro staffer.
It stands for promotional, not professional.
Right, exactly. But people take it like to the extreme. And it just gets annoying.
Dude, I've seen
annoying
professional fishing guides become Kardashian level annoying on the internet. Dude, when they get a new pro staff title.
Like, I get it. You got to do what the company wants you to do. But there are more creative and better ways to do it than just blasting it everywhere.
Well, and I think everybody's falling back on the idea of social media for everything. And do you know when I sell the most fishing reels, the most shirts, the most hats, the most gun cases or anything else? Is sitting talking to a client in the boat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like they're like, what gun are you using? What shells are you using? What reel are you using? What rods are you using? And that's if they're impressed with my equipment and using it, that's what they're going to go buy.
Right.
How many duck calls did you sell for?
I couldn't tell you. Scott McKinney could, yeah. Though. I bet you he knows the number. But it was a bunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was meeting people at the boat ramps and selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've sold a bunch of reels to people just because they reach out and they're like, tell us about these Florida fishing product reels or whatever. And I'm just honest with them. But that's, you're going to sell more in the conversational side than you are in the social
Absolutely.
Media side.
Absolutely.
But I'll sign up for a pro staff in a heartbeat if I can get a discount on a cooler.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, next up, a Kenny Chesney. How did it work out that I get to read this one?
I don't know, but wherever Matt Henderson is, he's smiling.
Yeah. Anyone who pretends to be someone they're not, particularly as it pertains to beaches, boats, or other water-centric activities. Specific to fishing, we're talking the guy with sleeveless shirts.
My dad wears sleeveless shirts.
Dad is one of the only people I know that wear sleeveless shirts. Like, most people either take their shirt off or they wear a shirt.
Right.
Sleeveless shirt guy is the Kenny Chesney.
No, I agree.
And I feel like we had a definition for, like, concrete cowboys earlier. Those are the Duck Dynasty boys. The
Duck Dynasty boys.
They were the kind of the guys that were faking
These are the Duck Dynasty boys of fishing.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think the Kenny Chesney is the Duck Dynasty boy
I can get behind
of
that. I like that. The next one is making bait. We all know what making bait is. It's the act and art science of catching bait. You're not actually making bait. You're chumming it within range and then cast netting it. God actually makes the bait.
Yes. Make no mistake about where the bait comes from. That comes from God.
The bait's mom and dad. Yeah, no, I like that term, though.
Do
you
too.
Like the term?
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
I said I like it. I don't know if I do actually like it. Like, I don't ever think I say I'm making bait.
Captain Travis, what are you doing?
Catching bait. That's catching what bait. I would say. I would say I'm catching bait.
I would
bait.
Say getting catching bait. Bait or getting bait, catching bait. But I like making bait.
You do?
Yeah. Why not?
I'm not against it. Like, I'm not ready to boycott it.
No,
I'm just,
yeah.
I'm not going to print t-shirts against it and schedule a march.
We should print t-shirts. Jeez. with it on there.
Make some poster signs. Make love, not bait.
Make
wait.
Make bait, not hate.
There you go.
There you go.
Speaking of bait, next up we have Bait Junkie, the guy who never has enough bait, easily identified by one more throw and smelling like a cat food factory.
Are you the bait junkie?
I have been known to be a bait junkie.
I am.
No, I know you are.
I've never had
100%.
I've never, ever, ever, ever.
There's really no such thing as enough bait. Is that
no?
Is that accurate?
I do not recognize that premise.
Right.
That there's enough bait.
Too much fun. What's that mean?
Have you ever known me to call it after we've got enough bait?
There was one fishing trip where we blacked out the live well. Every live well we had was blacked out in two throws. Remember that? We went with our friend Bobby. And you were like, well, he scratched your head. Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Travis Thompson head scratch. Yep. And he was done. He was like, okay, I guess we got enough bait. Because we literally could not fit any more bait in the live
well. But I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, well, I wonder if I could get a bucket out and one of those battery-powered aerators
right?
and stick some more bait in there.
Right? Dude, I get it. Or some of those tabs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. The Tampa guys don't understand bait. And I don't mean that throwing shade at them.
No,
I'm saying,
yeah.
Come to Charlotte Harbor and work on bait for a minute. You'll have a different appreciation for the Skyway Bridge.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
Because Charlotte Harbor will wear your butt
preach,
out getting bait.
Preach.
There's days in the summer where I'll be on the water at 5:15 chumming.
Oh, yeah.
And call my clients, hey, I'm going to be 5 minutes late getting there. Because I'm still chasing the stuff.
Yeah.
And there's other days where it's like she said, you black out live well in three throws.
Right.
But man.
It's like feast or famine, it feels like.
And
there.
It's because it's when you're on the flats, there are some spots that hold them year round, but they're long runs.
Right.
But we don't have the bridge holding them like you do in Tampa or even Sanibel further south.
Right.
A barely Cuda. Do you know what this is?
I don't think I've ever heard this term before. Barely
it's
Cuda.
A small barracuda.
That's my favorite thing.
I love it.
It's a barely Cuda.
I'm gonna use this one a lot this coming summer because last year we suddenly started catching
last summer too,
and somebody told me they were the little Senate barracudas. They weren't, they were graders.
They were just small.
They were just really small,
15 inches.
So barely Cudas
barely
Cuda. Is what we want to call those.
I like that term.
If anybody's listening and you love the term barely Cuda and you would wear a t-shirt with it on there, will you please reach out on social media or via text message, because I am in love with this term.
Yeah,
I want it on a shirt. Real bad.
Next term is like you read about, textbook maneuver, right? I'm going to catch a toad snook like you read about.
How many times do I say this on a fishing trip?
1,000. you'd be like, Gilly, throw this over there by those mangroves, and then I'll cast, and you'll be like, just like you read about.
Just like you read about.
That means you did it the right way.
You did it perfectly.
You did it perfectly.
Textbook.
So yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to show you.
We're going to
catch some redfish like you read about.
I'm going to throw this net like you read about.
Yeah, exactly. Presuming that what you read about was not in Florida Sportsman and was actually good.
Oh.
Dang.
Boil, swirl, pop. Noises made by a snook you should catch, but seldom do. Wow.
This is true. This is the elusive, you hear a pop, you see a swirl.
Generally speaking, those are out of range.
They usually are, but the ones that are in range, you can see them, and you throw to them, and it's like they just, you know, evaporate off the face
they
of the earth.
They flip you off and swim away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they're feeding that voraciously, usually you can get one to bite.
Usually, yeah. If you're like chumming a hole and you see swirls and pops and stuff, that means they're feeding. So you can usually get them to bite.
Daisy chaining. This is a maddening thing that tarpon do.
It's miserable. It's so maddening.
Like there's nothing else to say after that, right?
You know, you're just watching all these tarpon around. They're rolling everywhere and just, you know, basically coming out of the water.
They're in a circle. I'm looking at my living room, the size of my living room.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like swimming around in a circle around it.
And rolling, coming out of the water.
Do you ever just like throw your anchor in there just to like scare them out of their circle?
No, that's a bad strategy.
That's a bad idea.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they usually swim very far away when you do that.
Oh.
The idea, daisy chaining fish are typically, we're going to get to happy fish in a second, but daisy chaining fish are typically happy fish. It should be easy to catch.
But they're
not. That's not always the case.
They're not eating fish usually.
I've growing up, I always heard that if they were moving south, they were feeding, and if they were moving north, they weren't. A daisy chain's a circle, so one side of that circle is always moving south, and the other side's always moving north.
Right.
However, I always tried to position on the
south
moving side south just to be safe.
Yeah,
that's probably dumb.
Well, happy fish that are undisturbed and presumably willing to eat anything. See also mythical creatures. That's
particularly
so true.
When you're talking about tarpon, because finding happy tarpon is like a twice a year thing.
Right.
I just read the next one. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Lady killer. Your buddy Steve, who can only catch ladyfish while everyone else is slaying trout and snook.
Every time we pull a ladyfish into the boat, we start singing, "Who's that lady?"
Yeah.
Every time.
Have you ever been on a trip where the guy can only catch ladyfish?
I've been that guy.
Have you?
I have.
It's almost like it's...
It's like a curse.
It is.
Like you're cursed.
It's so nonsensical that it happens, but it happens.
It absolutely happens.
It's like they get in a slump, like a baseball season right. started. You know, it's like that guy that all of a sudden everybody's hitting doubles in the gap, and he hits a line drive, and like the pitcher catches it.
Right. Yeah, it's a screamer up the middle.
This is the lady killer. Like he makes the perfect cast under the mangroves at the point where there shouldn't be any ladyfish,
and he catches the ladyfish.
Or you're out in the flat and he hooks something monstrous. It takes off running, and it's a ladyfish.
Hey, at least he's making bait, right?
Lady killer. Yeah, he is making bait.
I think lady killer might be the t-shirt idea out of all these.
Of all these?
Yeah, think about that.
Yes.
Just your bro out there, like a Kenny Chesney type on the boat no with sleeves. A lady killer. Fish.
No sleeves, no shirt, no problem.
What?
Seining. This is catching fish as fast as possible, an allusion to the idea that you're catching fish at a rate commensurate with someone who was, in fact, using a net.
Just as fast as you could put it in there, you're pulling them in.
I've heard this described about your family before with snook during the summer.
We have been known to catch a lot of snook.
Yeah. The descriptor my dad has used, or our friend Robert has used, is they're seining them over there.
Seining them.
Even though you're not using a net.
No. No nets.
They're just catching
no
them as fast as they can literally put the bait in the water.
Yep. Dish ragged, an early 90s term for being dumped. In saltwater fishing, this is when the fish treats you similar to Jessica Corbett in the seventh grade. Do you have
Do you need to get something off
your chest? No, I don't want to talk about that right now. But I like the term dish ragged.
I do like the term dish ragged.
It's like they dump you without prejudice.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have been dish ragged in life and by fish.
Yes, by fish several times.
Yeah, probably more by fish than I have by wives.
So is this like the fish throws the plug or throws the hook, or is he just like whoop you?
I think it's any of those.
Either or.
When you lose the fish, you got dish ragged.
Okay.
That's how I would describe it.
No, I like that.
Some guys will say you got dumped, but I don't know that you and the fish were in a committed relationship where you could say dumped.
Yeah.
I think dish ragged is more of a appropriate term.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we have a Cast and Blast Florida original, smoked like a cheap cigar. This is a term for being dish ragged by a monster fish with little to no concern being given by the fish. Smoked like a cheap cigar means the hit and break occur, usually in one motion.
We have a spot that this used to happen on the regular.
Yeah, and it's typically good to act like you're blowing smoke out of a cigar after you tell someone they've been smoked like a cheap cigar. That won't translate on the radio, but that's typically how you want to do that.
So this is getting whooped.
Yeah.
This is the term for getting whooped.
This is the term for you never turn the fish.
Like you didn't have any chance.
Yeah. Big old snook under some structure, under a dock, under mangroves, whatever. Your bait gets in there, you feel the tap, 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 and he's gone.
Gone.
With all of your terminal tackle.
Yes.
You guys smoked like a cheap cigar.
I've been there several times.
Clients don't love it when you describe what happened to them as being smoked like a cheap cigar.
I can imagine that is...
Nervous. A bait or bobber can both be nervous. Are they actually nervous? The bobber is inanimate, so no, we don't believe it's actually nervous. The bait, what are we, shrimp scientists? Its life is spent trying not to be eaten by other stuff, so yeah, it's probably a default value for bait.
It probably lives its life nervous.
Yeah.
But it especially gets nervous when you can feel it on your...
Yeah. Is that nerves, though, or is that just... I mean, I don't think it's nerves. I think
it's less nerves and more like frantically trying to get away.
Yeah.
From the monster snook that's about to eat it.
Would you describe it as a happy bait? I got a happy bait?
I don't know about happy. I don't think they're happy about getting eaten.
I think nervous is the perfect word.
That's what I say.
You get a little jittery is what I usually will say.
Jittery or nervous? Yeah, that's what I usually say. Happy as a mullet. Are mullet happy? Have we got scientific data to back that up? We're not mullet scientists either, but they do look happy when they jump out of the water, leading your client to repeatedly ask, why don't we fish over there?
Do you know how many times in the course of a charter I say, that's a mullet and we can't catch them?
You know how many times in the course of a fishing trip I say, mullet? Yep. I just say mullet. Just one mullet.
Oh, what was that?
Mullet.
Mullet. The answer is always mullet. Like, it could have been a monster snook. I don't know, because 10,000 times it's going to happen, and it's always a mullet.
And then the one time it's going to happen, and...
Have you... I'm sure you have. Have you run across the skeptics that don't think you're right when you're like, oh, that was a trout. Oh, that was a snook. Oh, that was a mullet.
Right.
Like, you can tell the difference in how they strike absolutely the surface and how they leave the surface.
And people are like, oh, you're lying.
Yeah, you're not.
Do you remember when I think I was with you, when I caught a mullet in the mouth on a topwater bait?
Yes. I have a picture of that somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
It was an on a spitting image.
It was a skitter walk. Yep.
Bit it in the...
Like, in the mouth.
However you caught it, you caught it in the mouth.
Caught it in the mouth. Maybe catch it just kind of jumped on my bait. I don't, you know.
Was he happy? Do you think mullet are happy by default? Like, they seem kind of happy.
They seem happy. I mean, they're out there jumping around all the time.
They don't seem like they're super worried about stuff. And they should be.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything eats a mullet.
Everything eats mullet.
Next up, we have professional overrun. What happens when you hand a client a bait caster?
I've seen this happen.
There's a reason there's no bait casters on my boat with clients. Because professional overruns are bad.
Bad.
Like, they basically mean put that rod away.
Yes.
You're done using it for a while.
Ever.
Unless you want to spend some time doing surgery.
Yeah. If you want to get that backlash out of that bait caster, you're welcome to use it again.
Not a fan. Mm-mm. Stick 'em. This is the fishing equivalent of take 'em or shoot 'em, like you'd say to ducks.
Stick 'em.
Stick 'em. So for me, this occurs like with a bobber or a bait. Like, you're watching the client's rod.
It's been under for like 3 seconds.
Or you tell them specifically, he's going to pull you down until you're pointing the rod at him, and then you're going to set the hook. And like, the fish is actually taking drag.
All right. You can set the hook now.
He's 27 feet under a 12-foot mangrove bank. And you're like, stick him.
Stick him. Ghosted. Similar to the definition for what a girl does when you slide into her DMs. Ghosting is when fish ignore your every effort to please them.
I've run across this before. Oh, yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit I've run across this before.
With fish or women?
Yes. Although I don't slide into DMs so much anymore.
Oh, okay.
These days. I've slid into DMs in my life.
Line.
No, like, you roll up to a flat and the fish are visible.
Oh, yeah.
You got to... Snooker, very, especially this time of year when you're still getting a cold front or two that'll mess with the bite a little bit. But you'll see a bunch of them stacked up, getting ready to go into their spawning mode, and then you can't get them to bite. They ghost you.
Yeah.
You get ghosted.
You throw everything at them and they won't eat.
You get ghosted.
Fishy. A descriptor of an area that should hold fish. Happy mullet, oyster bars, mangroves. Wow, this area looks fishy. Or also what you say whenever you're leaving the cabin with Travis to go on a fishing trip and the sky is black. Huh, this looks fishy.
Yeah. Have you ever fished in an area that didn't look fishy? Like, I was thinking about this. Like, there is no place I've ever been on the water that doesn't look fishy.
I'm a magnet for fishy areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you fish under people's boat docks and houses and canals. It looks fishy.
Fishy.
Fish in the mangroves. Looks fishy.
Yep.
Fish in the open water. This looks really fishy.
Fishy.
Puddle in a Walmart parking lot.
Fishy.
Mm-hmm.
Last one we have is fishing for squirrels. And the definition is, if you don't get this, it's you. This is the guy that's throwing the bobber 35 feet up into the mangroves repeatedly.
Yes.
Fishing for squirrels.
Or birds.
Squirrel fish.
You know, I guess there is a squirrel fish. Pelicans like to hang out in mangroves.
Ospreys.
Egrets.
Maybe he's confused his fishing and his duck hunting.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
My favorite is when we like pull up to the spot where we go and there's other people's like bobbers and stuff hanging in the mangroves. And we're like, oh, they've been fishing for squirrels back here.
So that's our conversation on Suburban Dictionary Volume 3. Let us know if we've missed any and we'll put together Volume 4 for you later this summer.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Em, do you have a release?
I do. It's not going to be a popular opinion.
Okay.
All right.
My release this week is the famed HQ quiz app.
Watch your mouth when you're speaking to me.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Come on.
No. Keep going.
Oh, I've split the house.
No, you're good. Come on.
I really loved it when it first came out. It felt like a grassroots kind of thing. Prize was $2,000 or $3,000, $2,500 pretty consistently. But lately they've been having these crazy huge prizes and the questions are freaking ridiculous. And it's just not fun to me anymore in its present iteration. So I'm out. I quit.
No, I
hard to argue.
I have been, you know, not really up on my HQ game mm-hmm. recently. I haven't played much.
Mm-hmm.
I did play the big $250,000.
Would you make it to question game? 3 or 4?
Right. I think it was 4. But you're right. They are super hard, but
it has to be.
It has to be.
I know.
They're giving away $250,000.
To give some context to what they're talking about, there is an app called HQ. You can download it on your phone. And every day at 3 and 9, they do a trivia contest.
A live streamed trivia.
And we always play it as a group after we record the show. So every time we do a recording, we get to play a game. But we have no chance of winning.
And it is fun. But
with the three of us in a room. And we're
zero chance. You could have
not dumb
30 people in the room.
You, no
still probably have no chance.
Yeah. No chance.
So I'm just irritated with it. I might pick it back up in the future, but right now I'm out.
What about you?
My release this week is emails that I get that I never signed up for.
Oh, that's the best.
Like, and they're not spam necessarily. Every time I get one of these, I'm like, I've never heard of this thing in my entire life.
It's like someone sold your email information to another company.
Absolutely, because that absolutely happens.
Yeah.
It's not even... So, like, if I get like a flower shop email... That's fine. I've sent my girlfriend flowers before. Cool. I get it. But if I get like some medical email that I've never even seen and heard of in my life, where did this come from?
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I make it a habit of unsubscribing to every single one of those that I see ever.
I'm going to fix this for you right now.
What is that?
It's called unroll.me, UNROLL.me. It's a free service.
Is this your keep item?
No, I'm just fixing Nate's problem.
You're fixing Nate's release.
Yeah, and
this
our
may
listeners.
Maybe my keep item next week.
Yeah. So I have it. So you sign up for it and you have to go through one time. So it's a little tedious at the beginning and you tell it all the stuff you don't care about or you never subscribed to and you'll never see it again. So you don't have to click on the unsubscribe link in those emails.
Now, my mail app usually has an unsubscribe thing right at the top of the email.
Yeah.
It's one button. I hit it, unsubscribe, done. But not all emails come with that.
Mm-hmm. No, this is what you want.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that out.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. So if any of you are feeling Nate's pain, you can go get this totally free. I've used it for years and years and years. And like once a year, it checks in with me and it's like, do you still want these emails? And then I go clean it up again. So
my release is garage sales.
Oh, that's good awful. One.
We had a garage sale Saturday and it's okay. Garage sales are a necessary evil for me because you're coming to my house and you're taking my junk away.
Right.
And you're giving me 25 cents. Like, let's boil it down. That's how it works.
Sure.
But I don't want to barter with you. Like, I'm putting my stuff in the yard.
Right.
So we've already established that I have little to no value placed on these things. Let's just get them out of here. Like, let's just make it go away. So if I've got $10 on like a sofa, just give me the $10 and let's call it a day.
Right.
I'm not starting off at 25 and letting you, you know, negotiate me down. We're not haggling or any of that business. Some people that may be on this podcast enjoy the negotiation aspect of garage sales.
mm-hmm.
But that's my release. I think they're fun to sit out there. I like to see people take stuff away. I like to visit. We always get breakfast and stuff, but I don't plan to have another one ever again.
You know how like if you're in a negotiation, you never make the first concession or like the first number. You always let the other party. Travis has no aptitude for that at all.
If you walk up to me at my garage sale and say, I'll give you a dollar, I don't even care what you're about to ask me up for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or sold. He said, I was thinking 50 cents, but a dollar's fine. And then they'll go, okay, 75.
Okay.
Like he talks himself down. It's the craziest
I'll give
thing.
Stuff away to kids. Like I'll
ask
their parents,
different.
Like, can they have that?
That's fine. But you also give things away to adults.
Yeah.
We used to have them all the time. I say all the time.
Yeah,
once a year, once every couple of years.
Yeah.
My parents were less negotiators. They were like, somebody walk up, it'd be a dollar item. Like,
I can remember hauling one of your dad's $10 TVs to the dump because he wouldn't take $5 for it.
Oh.
That's me.
But he's also like, sometimes he'll be like, oh, I'll just take it. If it's 25 cents or something, he'll be like, yeah, I'll just take it. You know, I think dad, he budges on some things, but some things he's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What is your keep, Nate?
My keep item this week is the Florida Skiff Challenge.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yeah. Our buddy Ty is in it.
He's in
it. For Florida Fishing Products.
Right.
Or he's doing a chase boat.
Yeah.
Or chase crew. I don't know how that works.
Basically, if you don't know what this is, I think it's 4 teams of 2 guys get into like a micro skiff.
Yep.
Like a Hell's Bay. I think Hell's Bay,
Panga, Chittum, and Yellowfin.
There you go.
Are the 4 teams.
Those are the 4 teams. And they drive from Pensacola all the way down around Key West to Jacksonville.
Oh my goodness!
In 48 hours.
I think they went past Jacksonville. I think they were going to South or Georgia.
Oh, were they?
I think they were going to a place in Georgia.
And it's kind of a race for these four teams, but it's just like a cool concept to me. It's like
they really do it. You can sponsor a team, and I think you can sponsor for any amount, and that money all goes to Captains for Clean Water, which is one of the few nonprofits that we really appreciate and support on this show. So you could like sponsor Team Yellowfin or Team Hell's Bay and contribute $50 to Captains for Clean Water in that name. So it's really cool. I think it's Saltwater Sportsman has all the rights to it, so they're like doing live updates as the event goes on, and I'm sure it's kind of hard because they cut across the wide open water when they're cutting across, you know, just depending on the weather conditions. Like when you're cutting from Pensacola, the further out you can go, the straighter line you can go.
Right.
So they get out of cell range, so they can't do a lot of live video and stuff like that. They have some limitations, but they do, and they have designated stops they have to make called media stops where they have to stop and check in and do a quick interview and stuff like that.
So right.
Anyway, super cool.
It's a really cool thing.
At the time of the recording, it's not finished, but Hell's Bay is winning.
Oh, really?
Hell's Bay's in the lead. Hell's Bay and Yellowfin are pretty far in front, last I looked today.
Good deal. No, I'm really into that deal.
What is your keep, Miss Emily?
My keep is, so I made a thing for Easter. It's a recipe.
Oh, this was big time.
I saw a picture. I wasn't invited.
Yeah, you weren't invited for Easter.
It was a beef tenderloin, an herb-crusted beef tenderloin, y'all. I'm going to put the recipe in the show notes for you because it was like stupid easy. I was able to do it.
It was big time.
Amazing.
Do you know what ghee is?
Ghee?
Yeah.
I've heard of ghee.
G-H-E-E.
Yeah.
It's clarified butter.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But it has a higher smoke point. So you can
butter
sear with it better.
Real quick.
Used ghee in this recipe.
Yeah, I learned a lot of like cooking science with this particular recipe, which I like. That's the only time I've ever been interested in cooking is if I know the sciencey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really good. Like you like rub the herbs all over the meat and then you put it in the refrigerator uncovered. So it's open to the air for like 8 hours and it draws the juices out and then it draws the flavor in when you do that. So
and
that was kind of cool.
It was really good. Rosemary and
thyme and parsley.
I don't remember. It was so good.
It was just so stupid easy.
It's the best thing she's ever cooked and she's a good cook. I tease her a lot, but she's a good cook.
Anyway, it's just like if you're having in-laws over or for a holiday, it's a really easy dish to impress people. So I'm going to put it out there for
you guys. It seems almost like it'd be hard to screw up.
Agreed.
My keep item is, you're going to love this, the term stay woke.
Stay woke.
Have you ever said that out loud?
I have not.
Okay. I'd like for you to start using it.
I probably won't.
It's a social justice warrior type term.
It is.
Like you need to be woke on issues.
Yeah.
But I feel like I love that term so much that I'm starting to use it on just everyday
conversation. Just whatever you want.
Like when I leave a conversation, I'm like, hey, bro, stay woke.
Stay woke.
I'm conscripting it into my everyday vocabulary. Oh, and I feel like it was a good keep because this was a vocabulary episode.
True.
So y'all stay woke this week. In fact, I might sign off every episode that way.
Stay woke.
Emily, do you have any commentary on that?
I'm trying to look at, does Gambino's new song say it in there?
You should look up the Urban Dictionary for stay woke.
Yeah, I feel like Redbone. Okay, so Childish Gambino's new album, the song
Redbone. No one knows
Redbone.
Who that is.
Okay, never mind. If you know who that is, will you comment and tell my husband that you listen to Gambino because he's
no
amazing.
No one knows who that is.
Amazing.
If you admit that to me, I may call you out on this podcast.
So stay woke. If you've seen the video of the little girl singing about selling Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, she says stay woke.
That's the song. Stay woke on Urban Dictionary app. To stay woke is to keep informed of the bleep storm going on around you in times of turmoil and conflict.
Yeah, I feel like that's good advice as I part with you guys for the week.
Be alert and ready.
To Nate, Emily, and all of our listeners, our 9,000 plus listeners, stay woke.
Do whatever you
y'all.
Want.
Stay woke, y'all.
So bait.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.